happy hour.
And now for something completely different.
What's going on? This is Happy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy. And live on the show right now is the one and only Neo from Magzuba 92.5. He is on Happy Hour. What's going on, bro?
Hey, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me on, for the invitation especially.
I'm very excited to have you on, man. I've heard so much about you when I moved into Beasley Media Group, and it was all good things, just saying like your longevity in radio and just everything in that sort of manner. So for the listeners that are maybe from my previous radio jobs that haven't heard your show, how long have you been in radio so far?
I think I'm it's embarrassing to say, right? Because this is the part that kind of reveals your age a bit. I think I'm going on 27 years now. I started in 1996. And as a matter of fact, what got me into radio was when I first came to Tampa. I was in the Air Force and I got stationed at MacDill.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, born and raised in Miami, Cuban kid. And there weren't, I guess I was, when you think about this, right? So Miami's like an extension of Cuba. I grew up in Little Havana.
Yeah.
So I grew up on white rice, black beans, and pastelitos, and cafecito, and you know.
Yeah.
And when you join the Air Force and you leave Miami and they send you to basic training in Texas in Lackland Air Force Base, you realize, holy cow, I'm now in the United States.
Yeah.
Because your whole culture is gone, you know, and abuela that would make the good meals and all that, it's gone. And now it's, you know, instead of those Cuban food that I was, or that Cuban culture that I was raised on, now it's like mashed potatoes and meatloaf and this stuff. And I was like, okay, this is different.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a culture shock. So when I got stationed in Tampa, I noticed that there was a very rich Cuban culture here.
Yes.
But not a lot of Spanish stations. The Spanish radio stations were actually on the AM dial back then. And there was a station on 680 AM that was called Radio Mundo. And there was this guy on the morning show that he would have a joke-telling contest. And he would play, people would call, it was kind of like a voice message line, right? So you would call yeah. and you'd leave your joke on this answering machine or whatever the hell they had back then. And then the next morning, the guy would take the jokes from the folks that had called in and he'd play them on the radio on this AM station. And folks, the listeners, the probably five or six listeners that they had would call the morning show and say, oh, I like that guy that said the joke about the cat or whatever.
Yeah.
And the winner of that joke-telling contest would always be me. That's how I got started in radio. So people started getting to know me as, oh, the joke guy, the jokes. So at the end of the week, they would give out, I don't know, it was back in the days of the CDs. So they would give out like some promo CDs or whatever. Yeah. And I'd go and I would still, you know, I'd go on my lunch break while I was still in the service. And then they started calling me the little tin soldier because I'd come all in my uniform from MacDill Air Force Base to pick up my CDs or what have you. And the PD one day, he just said, you know, you'd be good in radio. Just like that.
Yeah.
And I said, you're kidding me. So they offered me, I think maybe, I don't know, several months after we got acquainted, they offered me a board op position on Friday and Saturday nights. I must have been, shoot, I don't know, 19, 20 years old when this happened?
Yeah.
So I was on Friday and Saturday nights. I started board opping, and this was before automation. You got to understand, there was no audio vault or Scott Studios or what we have here now.
Wide Orbit
or the Prophet system that iHeart ran with for several years. It was all carts and CDs. And there was an actual log where you had to find the number and look on the wall and grab the item and then put it in the cart or the CD machine and hit play, and everything was timing. So I was just fascinated by that. I absolutely loved that. And, you know, so while my friends were going out to Ybor City or clubbing on Friday and Saturday nights, from 10 to about 3 a.m., I was stuck in a radio studio learning to do all that stuff.
I can relate to you on that factor. Now, the board op that I've learned from was everybody at 102.5 The Bone, and we used Wide Orbit as well. But let me tell you, I've been in Tampa for 8 years now, and I'm about to be 30, and I would say 45% of my 20s, any Friday or Saturday or Sunday night, went to radio. Like, when you really want it, you give up those nights. And the worst is when you hear about how much fun they had in Ybor or how much fun they had in South Tampa. And you're like, oh, I was just working in radio. But that's just the thing about radio, though. You have to put in those nights.
Yeah, and I didn't really give a crap about those things, though. You know, when I turned 18,
yeah,
my buddies in Miami took me to Club Madonna, which was a strip joint in South Beach. And I was like, okay, yeah, they look great. The ladies are nice and all that. But it wasn't like, they were like, woohoo! And for me, it was like, yeah, this isn't for me, you know?
I'm not a big fan of them. I find it kind of grimy. Like when I was 21, 22, it was awesome. But now I'm like,
yeah,
I'm good.
So needless to say, once I got into radio, eventually I moved up quickly. I started hosting nights at that one particular station, and then a new competitor arrived, and they stole me away. And before you knew it, I was actually working in nightclubs, whether it was hosting, and then eventually I got into DJing and spinning records. So I got so much of an overdose of doing the nightclub thing that now I don't even ever want to hear about another nightclub. It's like, for me, it's work.
What's the biggest difference besides there being a crowd there? Because to me, what's very relaxing about radio as an introvert being in radio is that we're just talking one-on-one and you never know who's listening. But to me, the thing that I'm fascinated about with nightclub events is you have thousands of people potentially right in front of you. How different is it speaking to the crowd rather than people that have their radio on that you cannot see?
Yeah, it's like it's like a lab experiment, and you have the panel right in front of you, and you can actually see real-time reaction.
Yeah.
So whether you drop a song and then and everybody like, ah, you know, yeah, they put their hands up and they're like, oh, that's my jam right there. You know, that's very rewarding. And then you start learning about, okay, this song works, or you'll play a song that absolutely sucks. And then people are like, oh, you know, you empty out the dance floor, and that's a crushing feeling. As a DJ, there's nothing more horrible than playing a bad record.
I did that to my friend about 3 months ago. The song What We Do by Freeway from like 2002 with Jay-Z in that. One of my favorite songs, but it's more of a workout song or listening at home. I said, bro, you got to put on What We Do. He goes, no, that's not a nightclub song. He ends up putting on the song. The whole dance floor emptied out, and he had to put on like some other song to get the club going. And I totally could see the emotion of people going on their phones or going to the bar to get a drink. And even though I wasn't the nightclub DJ for that night, you have that sort of shame where you go, wow, I thought that was going to work and it didn't.
Yeah. And I think that's a great correlation between radio as far as music stations and like being a club DJ. It's all about playing the hits. And
yeah,
I think, you know, I've met some unbelievable mixologists, you know, people that are like scratch masters, you know, that have done,
yeah,
gone into the competition. They can do all the,
yeah,
but they have unbelievable skill. But when it comes down to it, and I think 95% of what a DJ does, just like a good program director on a radio station, is playing the right songs, playing the right music. That's why I think any Joe Blow nowadays that has one of these software with a playlist player, that, you know, they can go and be a DJ. Just plug in the right music, and it'll auto-mix it for you. And so it's very interesting how far things have come.
What is the process of picking what song goes on Maxima? Like, do you think about it? Do you listen to other people that give you advice? What is the process of figuring out what to play?
Well, we have research, so we survey our audience, and we know what they're liking.
Yeah.
And when new music, time to select new music comes, it's not an autocraft situation. We have listening parties with the rest of the staff, and we try to narrow, there's typically a certain sound that people are craving at the moment. So when we listen to new songs, typically that sound is what becomes more popular in the room.
Yes.
So people say, yeah, that's a good song. And then also the core artist factor. Like, if you have a song by Bad Bunny, right now Bad Bunny's like the superstar of the whole entire world.
Yeah, he is.
You're almost certain to hit by just adding the next Bad Bunny record, regardless of what it is, just because the guy's a sensation.
You know who I loved growing up? I'm from Illinois, and about 15 to 18 years ago, Daddy Yankee you could not turn on the radio in Illinois without hearing Gasolina. That was like the biggest song of 05. It's one of my favorite songs.
Sure.
So when you get ready for your radio show, are there different news sites you check for prep? Are there, like, do you, like, read the newspaper? Are there any old school ways that you do it to find things to talk about in between songs?
That's a great question, Ryan. You have to know, regardless of what you're doing in radio, whether it's talk radio or a music format, you have to know what the top five headlines of the day are.
Yes.
Just going in, even if you don't touch them on the airwaves, you have to know about these things. I typically scour through all of the local channels first, whether it's Fox 13, WFLA, ABC Action News, our friends at WFTS. And then I'll hit up some of the more broader sites like Daily Mail and things like that.
That is my favorite site.
Yeah, they are loaded. Site. They have a bunch of stuff. Depending on who's writing the article, they could be spun one way or the other.
Totally.
But they do provide some great content, and they have tremendous access. And that's the part about Daily Mail that I really enjoy. They just seem to get scoops on everything from anywhere. So New York Post is another one if I want to look more, on the political angle and stuff. So that's kind of where I go.
So what time do you wake up in the morning? There's some afternoon radio DJs that get up at 11, and I know you don't get up at 11, but what is the process of your day before your show?
Yeah, well, when I was solely doing afternoons, remember now I'm directing the station and all that, but when I was solely doing afternoons, I would probably wake up closer to 9 a.m., and then I would take my time, go to the gym, and relax. I'd play video games.
What do you play?
Call of Duty. I loved Call of Duty. Now I'm on a binge of Halo Wars.
Oh man.
I had not discovered Halo, and I feel like I missed out on so much. And it was actually my 8-year-old son that said, "We should buy Halo." And I said, "Really? Halo? Yeah, you know what?
Greatest game ever."
Yeah. So I haven't bought like the first person shooter one. I bought the Halo Wars where you gotta build your base and build your arm. And man, I'm just like, I love that kind of thing. I used to play a game back in the days of PS1 and PS2 called Command & Conquer.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, and you would build your armies and so on and so forth and then drop a nuclear bomb on somebody and watch them all burn to hell. And I love that. I don't know why. It's something about watching these little things burn to hell and back that just really excites me.
I feel like it's a way to take out, like, I don't know what the word would be, aggression. Not anger, but I feel like radio can be such a mental grind. Mm-hmm. We're not like lifting weights or anything unless we go to the gym, but it's a very mental aspect of knowing what to talk about, always having to be on when you're in the hallway and you see people, that I feel like when you're at home, for me, I get into my, like a certain outfit. It's like pajamas, and I just sit on my couch and I'll either play video games or watch TV. There's nothing better than after a long day of work of just unwinding at your house.
Yeah, I love. It's almost a daily thing for my girlfriend and I. We smoke a cigar.
Yes,
and if I typically get home and I have that window before she gets home.
Yeah,
I'll play some Halo Wars or I'll play Forza or some other video game or I'll tinker with my race cars or whatever. But it's kind of nice to have that. Just alone time for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I do a lot with that.
So what is your take on being alone? Right now, I'm single, and I'm on the dating apps, and I'm having fun in that. But there, to me, is a healthy mix of being alone and then being with people. Like, what is your process? Do you, like, say, hey, I need a few hours after work to unwind? Because that's me. I can't just go somewhere right after work. I need to unwind for a little bit.
Yeah, are you asking me like relationship wise? Like
relationship or with friends? Like, are you the type of guy, let's say you work from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., do you need to go home real quick or can you go right to dinner?
No, I kind of want to get home.
Me too.
And I think that's one of the reasons why people work so hard in life, right? Because we want to have a nice home, and part of having a nicer home is, or a place that you're just proud of, whether it's an apartment or a condo or whatever it is you want to enjoy that spot.
Yes.
And I love enjoying my home. You know, and it's cool. It's kind of like when you go on vacation, for example, one of the best things about going on vacation is coming back. You know, have you ever gone on vacation, whether it's a 3-night or a 5-night or a 7-day thing in Europe or whatever, and you come back and it's like, oh, my own bed and my own, you know, my own shower and everything is like, ah, I miss my place. And there's something to be said about that. I love going home and just relaxing.
What got you into race cars?
You know, that's such an interesting question because I don't even know. I was in fifth or sixth grade in elementary school. And back then, I used to watch IndyCar. And I remember watching Al Unser Jr. and Bobby Rahal and all these great drivers. And I don't know why. I just liked those cars that were shaped like missiles with little wings on them. They're going incredibly fast. And listening to the commentators, as he rams out to turn three, here he comes, 220 miles an hour. He's looking on the outside. And then the crash. For me, that drama was just compelling. And I remember one day they were doing this career day thing, you know, where they bring in moms and dads and their career day and the doctors and lawyers and whatever. And they said, oh, what would you like? You know, and I said, oh, a race car driver.
Yeah.
And the teacher kind of like looked around with her eyeballs trying to figure how does she pull that one off. Ultimately, there was no race car driver that ever came to my school. And I've always been fascinated by automobiles.
Yes.
My first car was a 1980 Camaro Z28.
Yeah.
Really neat car. And it had the cowl induction hood. And I blew the motor up on the I-75 when I was like 20, 21 years old. Going down to Miami, the water temp sensor wasn't working.
Yeah.
And that bitch was overheating. And I was just, I see a plume of smoke behind the car. And I said, I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
This is back before the cell phone era. So they used to have, I don't know if you even remember this. They used to have these call boxes on the I-75. Where if you got into trouble, you'd pull over. Like every so often, like every mile or 2 miles, they'd have like a call box.
Illinois used to have that, yes.
Yeah, and you'd push a button, and I guess some state trooper cop would come and say, "You're in trouble, buddy. You need some help." You know, they'd call a tow truck for you. Anyway, I remember I was going down to visit a cousin of mine that I had just arrived from Miami, and I blew up that engine. I think I had like $150 cash on me. That was all the money I had in my life.
Yeah.
Back then, and it cost me every penny of that money just to have the damn car towed back to Tampa.
That's what I've heard about having really nice cars is, like, I drive a Honda Accord, and it's $45 to fill up the gas tank, and I live 2 minutes from here, so I fill up the gas tank every 3 weeks. But I've heard that when you have nice cars, it comes with, like, as Biggie says, more money, more problems. Like, you got to keep the cars up.
Yeah, that car wasn't that nice. it had a pretty nice paint job. It looked cool, but that was a hoopty through and through, man. That thing was old. I mean, we're talking about a 1980 car, and I was driving it that must have been 97?
Yeah.
Something right around the time that I was starting in radio, actually. So, but needless to say, going back to my love for cars, my next car was I got a Ford Escort GT.
Yes.
And it had a 1.8 liter dual overhead cam engine. And I ended up putting headers on that thing. I put nitrous oxide in that thing with a bottle. And then I got broken into in Ybor City one night. I was down there at the nightclub.
Oh,
figure that out. They smashed my window. They took my boom box, the big speaker I had in the back. They took the nitrous bottle. They broke the dashboard to get the radio out. Sons of bitches.
Ybor's fun, but man, there's a point where you need to leave Ybor. I think it's around like 1 a.m. I've been there at 3 waiting for my Uber, and my phone's on like 12%. And that frightening moment until the Uber comes, Ybor can go from very well behaved to just a fight will break out or something will happen, and then the whole vibe on 7th changes.
Yeah, Ybor, and I want to be careful about what I say because I've noticed that through the years, the things I say can carry some weight, and I can piss off a shitload of people.
Uh-oh.
So I'll tell you this much, though. In the early 2000s, I used to rock a spot in Ybor called La Cueva. And it was a Latin night, and it was, man, it was jumping. And this is about the time that Ybor started going a bit sideways. You know, that whole thing with Club Empire happened, and they had a shooting in there, and it just brawls. They started putting cameras on 7th. This was about the time, and it got ruined for Hispanics. And if you notice, there's, I think it's coming back now in a little bit more because Hispanic, as far as what's popular for Hispanic music, is more urban now in nature, like yes. Bad Bunny, the reggaeton and stuff. But back then, it was like the salsa, merengue, and bachata. And the ladies, they like to dress up to go out.
Do. Yeah, they do.
But in Ybor, you have to park in the garage or in some lot and then walk to the spot where you're going. And the females were just getting harassed up and down. Hey, mommy, I want to see them titties. You know, whatever. They would holler at them. So eventually, less and less of them started going out. And by the time that the owner of La Cueva said, all right, I'm selling the joint, it was done.
I will say, I'm a 6'9" guy, and nobody usually messes with me, but I don't feel safe when I walk to those parking lots, like near the arcade or right behind 7th. Like, when I'm on 275 and I'm leaving, I feel so safe. I love Ybor. I've had some of the most fun nights of my life there. But there's some nights that you can just kind of feel that there's a weird vibe in the air.
Yeah. Ybor's bipolar, man.
Because it really is.
Ybor in the daytime is actually a cool spot. You go in the daytime.
Oh, it's
daylight.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice. They have nice restaurants. You get to walk around. You get the historic vibe of the place. A lot of the joints where people go to get drunk aren't really happening at that time. Or if they are, it's kind of, you know, light. It's just whatever, a bar, have a beer or something.
Yeah.
So, Ybor at night, it's just not my cup of tea, not at this age.
So, how did you meet your girlfriend, and what are your favorite cigars to smoke with her?
Well, I met her on Facebook, if you could believe that.
Yeah.
And just, you know what? Any cigar that tastes good is what we smoke. Honestly, we're not, you know, we like the Rocky Patel stuff. The Padron stuff is good. We just bought a sampler kit of Perdomo cigars, and some of those are very, very nice. Some of the Oliva cigars are good. And, you know, she's a beautiful woman. She's a Cuban lady through and through. When you go to Cuba, you'll see a lot of females actually smoke cigars.
Yes.
And she smokes her cigars. And I think she had problems, not problems, but she couldn't find that. Most men, you know, they meet a girl that smokes cigars and they're kind of like, ew, what's wrong? But I smoke cigars, and now she smokes cigars, and they're like, wow, match made in heaven almost, right?
Yeah, and I feel like in radio, a lot of times, I don't want to use the word groupie, but there's some girls that when you see them out with radio guys, you can tell that they're just with them for the attention. But whenever I've met your girlfriend about maybe 7 times, and every time, you can just tell that she loves you, bro. Like, there's a vibe that she wants to be around with you, and she's not just looking for the attention.
Yeah, no, she's, and believe it or not, she goes to those things because I ask her to, whatever events or appearances that I have to show up at. But she's very quiet life.
Yes.
She wants to be home smoking cigars or watching a movie. She doesn't want to be out. So that's kind of interesting because I'm sort of the same way. And I hate to admit that because a lot of folks, they hear me on the radio, and they're like, man, Neo, he's just a wild man. He sounds like he's having a party. He's like a living party.
Yeah.
And I'm not like that. You know, I like doing things that are very quiet.
Me too.
We just came back a few days ago from Key West. And by the way, if you have not been down to the Florida Keys, you don't know what you're missing. It is one of the best-kept secrets in the entire United States. We have a piece of the Caribbean here in the U.S., here in our state of Florida, and a lot of people don't capitalize on that opportunity. The islands, I mean, it's we were down there. First of all, they have a direct flight, which is cheap. It's like $130 from Tampa to Key West. You land on the island, and then you're there, and you're walking around. We rented a golf cart. You don't even need a full-size car. You can rent a golf cart for the weekend, and it'll, you know, the island's 4 miles by 2 miles, something like that. And just run around the island, go bar hopping, go do this, that, buy cigars. We rented a boat, and we used a GPS to get out to the spot where the guy at the marina told us. Man, Ryan, it was like, imagine that blue water in a pool just out there in the ocean with white sand, 2 feet of water, and we just dropped the anchor right there, lit up some cigars and put on some music, and it was like, man, we could die tomorrow with a smile on our face. This is paradise.
I think this week I'm going to make a trip to St. Pete Beach because when you work so much in Florida, you forget that you live in Florida. I don't know if you go through that, but you have the Monday through Friday 9-to-5 grind. You have the events. You have the radio show. And you're kind of going to the same place. You're going on the highway to your job, and you're going home. But you forget that there's the benefits of the beach and the sun. And even though it's very hot out, I'm from Illinois, and I'll tell you, I'll take the hottest day in Florida over cold weather any day.
Yeah, same thing. Same here. You know, you could actually take some clothes off when you're hot and...
And just get a fan, get some water, you're fine.
It.
But when it's 20 degrees out, you can't do anything.
That's it. Yep.
So when it's all said and done, Neo, because you are a very popular name in Tampa radio, how do you want people to remember you? What do you want your legacy to be in Tampa Bay radio?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe, he was good, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully they'll say that, but... You know, I don't know. I think a lot of folks don't see what I do behind the scenes on the management side of things. And I think on that aspect, we've created a very powerful and compelling and competitive radio station. And I think that's my biggest legacy. For when I speak to the overall station, I mean, right now I have Nandy and Christy. They're like, I think they finished the month of June, number two in the market. In their demographic, 18 to 49. The afternoon drive with myself has been top three. I think we finished number two as well. I've hit number one several times in the past year. Middays is top five. I mean, the station is just a juggernaut, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this station is just brutal right now. And we've invited so much competition. And then they come in here and, you know, you have that station that came in last year. That they bought, they actually bought that Cox station, that 97.1. And man, those people are having such a hard time. And they, you know, they have not been able to get a foothold in this market. And I think that's a testament to an incredible job that this team, this entire team has done. And I think that's what I mostly want to be related.
And would you do a 10 out of 10 job at, and I'm not just saying this to kiss your ass, but you guys are live and local. Like, I feel like we know you guys. A lot of times, I noticed in Tampa Bay, people might not know this because not everyone's from Tampa, but Tampa Bay loves Tampa Bay. And when you have radio shows and you have other things that are not in Tampa, people can feel that because you're not able to talk about the sport teams. You're not able to talk about the events. Like, if you have a show that's not in Tampa, you can't talk about the wine festival and the promotions team being out on a Sunday.
Yeah, and... Aside from that, Ryan, it's the connection and the longevity that I think a lot of our personalities have right now.
Yes.
Like, I've been on that afternoon drive now for 14 years. And it sounds like I started yesterday because I go into that show every day and I'm like, hey, what's going on? Hey, oh my gosh, it's a hot one today, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're going down to the Clearwater Beach, make sure you take a dip and you know, don't take your bikini off until I get there. You know, something like that, right? So... I try to create that excitement. And the same thing with Nandy and Christy. I mean, Christy just hit her 12-year benchmark here. Christy started as a part-timer.
Yeah.
I remember she was hounding me. She was like, oh, please, I want to get a job. And, you know, we had to develop her talent and mold her. And now she's like this superstar. And she's on TV. And she's got, you know, a bunch of followers on the socials.
What's the biggest thing that she really worked on that she did well at learning about?
Just loosening up.
Yeah.
I think Christy took this a bit too serious. And I remember she was hosting when she first started. I had her on as a part-timer on the air on maybe it was Sundays or something.
Yeah.
And she called me one Sunday afternoon. She says, you're not going to believe what happened to me. And I'm like, oh, my God, something's crashing. The computer's crashed. We're off the air. You know, I'm thinking the worst.
Yeah.
And she's like, some guy just called me and asked me what color my panties are. And she was really tripping about this, man.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. She was having a hard time with this because she's very serious. She wants to be taken seriously. And I said, well, what did you say? I know I hung up. I said, well, I kind of chuckled and I said, look, you know, I get it. You know, you want to be taken seriously and what have you. I said, but you should take advantage of those opportunities. And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, I would have hit the record button on the Vox Pro and I would have asked him, I'm sorry, what was that? And when he says, yeah, what color are your panties? And I would have told him, well, you know, it's kind of hot outside. I'm not wearing panties today. What about you? Are you going commando or what?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, have fun with it and then put his ass on the air.
Yeah.
You know, that's, everybody would remember that. So she said, ah, and I saw the light bulb go off. And I think she's not completely off the wall now. She still wants to be taken seriously.
Of course.
But in the morning show now, she can get loosey-goosey, and it's fun. It's fun to hear her that way. And Nandy, I mean, Nandy's just a star, man. I mean, you're talking about somebody who's got, I think, 38 years now in radio. Think about that, 38 years in radio. And he sounds, another guy, it sounds like just started last year.
I spoke to him a few times when I was working with MJ back in June, and he really cares about that show. Like, he'll talk to you in the hallway for a few minutes, but he wants to go into that room and be well-prepped. I can read it.
Yeah, he's just, you know, these folks, they're immensely talented, but beyond that, they're just great employees. And I've been at radio stations where you can see the prima donnas.
Yes.
And that talent is impossible to work with.
Of course.
And thankfully, I haven't had many of those in my tenure here. And the ones that I did have didn't last long.
Yeah.
They quickly either became very unhappy and left on their own, or they were showed the door.
Well, Neo, how can people listen to Magzuma 92.5?
Well, the app is free. You can just go to your App Store or Google Play, 92.5 Maxima, 925maxima.com. And if you live in Tampa Bay, it's on 92.5 on the radio dial.
I'm telling you, I keep saying I'm going to learn Duolingo, and I don't do it. But I sincerely want to learn it, because even when I'm listening to 92.5 and I'm not sure what's being said, I just get so hyped. Like, the energy you guys bring is some of the best in all of radio, and I'm not just saying that.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. I think we have an approach to this radio station that it's more CHR American.
Yes.
But just talks in Spanish.
Yes.
So
keep up the very good work, Neo.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Right. Happy hour. I loved it. Thanks.
Thank you, Neo.
Happy hour. Happy hour.